Our Father, we worship you for the beautiful Savior that you have provided in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that though we were once your enemies, you have made us your children through the perfect life of Jesus Christ, that he lived in perfect obedience to your law, fulfilling every demand. He lived as you had commanded us to live, but none of us had. Father, we thank you that through the death of your Son, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and because your justice was satisfied, you can forgive our sins. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the beautiful Savior whose life and death and resurrection we celebrate tonight. In the gospel that we will hear, in the lives and testimonies of those who will share their stories, and Father, even in the music that we've sung together, we celebrate you as merciful, gracious, forgiving, even though you are just and holy. We thank you that you found a way in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's him that we celebrate tonight. Lord, receive our praise. Because we offer it unto you, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you to what is my favorite service at Countryside, or at least it's near the very top. There's so many wonderful things the Lord has done and is doing around here, but I love to hear the testimonies of those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. I was reminding them in the back before we were getting started tonight that our Lord commanded this 2,000 years ago. He said that everyone who becomes a disciple of mine, they are to be baptized. The word baptized simply means to immerse in water. And that's what we do. It's a picture. It does several things at the same time. Baptism is not a saving work. It's important that you understand that. There's no magic in this water. There's no sort of miracle that happens in the water itself. Instead, we celebrate a miracle that has already happened in each of these lives. The miracle that Jesus called being born again. The miracle where the Holy Spirit brought conviction to their hearts. He helped them to see their sin. He helped them to see that God had provided a Savior in Jesus Christ. They heard the gospel that I was just praying about. They heard that message, and the Spirit of God drew them through that message to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to understand the gospel, to believe it, to repent of their sins, and to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what we celebrate tonight. And this is just a picture. It's a sign that points to a spiritual reality. This is all physical, but it is a picture of the spiritual that has already occurred in their lives. And so tonight, as you hear these testimonies, you will hear those who have been, from many different backgrounds, brought to that place to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ and to confess him as Lord. And now they want to do what their Lord commanded, which is to be immersed in water. Both to confess that he is their Lord, you'll hear them do that very clearly, but also to picture that the person they used to be before they met Jesus Christ, before they repented and believed, the person they used to be died. That person is no more, and they have been raised, as I will raise them out of the water, to new life in Jesus Christ. And so that is a wonderful thing about this ordinance that our Lord gave us. It is a dramatic picture of the gospel and of a changed life through the power of that gospel. So I hope that you will pray for those who come now to share their testimonies. Maybe you'll pick out one or two that you will let them know you're praying for them in the days ahead. And certainly tonight, as they share their testimonies with you, I hope you'll pray for them. But I know you'll be encouraged by what you hear.
Hello, my name is Anna Anderson. Before I was saved, I thought I could get to heaven on my own. I thought that since I knew all the church answers and because I obeyed my teachers, God would let me in. But truthfully, I was doing it all for my own glory, not for God's. I would lie, cheat, and sneakily steal to get what I wanted. I was lost and confused and depraved. But God didn't give up. Thankfully, He gave me godly parents, and one of the things they did was put me in the Awana program at our church. When I was in Sparks in second grade, I memorized several verses that explained the gospel. Like normal, I said my verses to my book leader and was done. When I got in the car that night, my dad asked me what verses I said. I told him, but unlike other times, I actually asked him what they meant. He explained to me the gospel, how in James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. And in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it explains how we have rebelled against God, and because of that, we cannot be with Him, but we are destined to an eternity in hell. But because of what it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life, we can have eternal life because of what Jesus did for me. How He lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, taking my place, and then rose again, proving that He was victorious over death. He would get my sin, and I could get His righteousness. Even though I had heard the gospel several times before, this time it really sunk in and what it meant. So I asked my dad, how do I get Jesus' righteousness? He told me, that's where we come to the next verse. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He told me that I have to believe in Jesus Christ and what He did for me and ask God to forgive me of my sins. That night, I prayed and told God that I believed in Jesus and that I was sorry for sinning against Him and asked Him if He would help me grow in my love for Him. Now that I am a Christian, I long to learn the truths from the Bible. I see a consistent pattern of righteousness and a decreasing pattern of sin. I try to give God the glory in everything I do. I know it is not I who gets me to heaven, but Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. I have seen the Holy Spirit work in my life through my attitude, actions, and thoughts. I love serving with the kids in the children's ministry, and the Lord has worked in my heart so that obeying His command is no longer a burden as it once was, but a joy. Since I have placed my faith in Jesus, I have strived to read my Bible every day, and I've used different reading plans to help me with that. I look for opportunities in my day to just stop and talk to God, and I've enjoyed growing in my knowledge and understanding of God and His Word through the wonderful teaching and main service through Pastor Pennington and in youth group from Justin Turner and the other speakers in youth group. I am so thankful for my Sunday school, Awana, and my accountability group leaders who have helped me to make my relationship with God the center of my life and who continue to help me in my daily walk with Him. When I see my Lord, and I hope I will be able to say, my foot has held fast to His path, I have kept His way and not turned aside, I have not departed from the command of His lips, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than the necessary food, Job 23:11. So because of my love for God and longing to obey Him, I now stand here before you tonight to be baptized.
Anna, thank you so much for your clear testimony. You obviously have come to a very clear understanding of the gospel. You understand that your only hope is not in your righteousness, but in that of Jesus Christ. And you have confessed Him as Lord. And because of that, it is my great joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Melissa Montank. I grew up in a Christian home being taught the truths of the Bible, who God is and what He has done for us. I believed that because I went to church, believed the Bible and all that it said, and because my parents were Christians, that I was too. One day, when I was 7, I realized that I was missing something to be truly called a Christian, and that was repenting for my sins and asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I confessed. It has been a slow growth process with many failures on my part and lots of love and patience from the Lord. But as I have grown, I have learned more and matured in my understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And I work daily to follow Him and do as He wills. I know I'll never be perfect, but I strive to be more like Him every day. And one way I'm doing His will is by being here today.
Melissa, thank you. It's so important, isn't it, to learn that growing up in a Christian home, having Christians all around you is not enough. Jesus said the gate into his kingdom is narrow. And of course, that means it has to be by the truth, but it also means you can only go in one at a time by yourself. And because you have come to understand that, and because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Sierra, and this is my testimony. I was a good girl growing up, raised to believe that Jesus died and rose for our sins, but didn't attend church often and didn't recognize my sins. I thought I was good. I didn't know there was another way to be. God's word did not change me because I was never in it. When he finally did start going regularly to a local church, I met great friends and went to Bible studies, but the words never sunk in. Never took root or changed my heart. Trying to stay focused during a sermon was impossible. A few years later, in 2013, someone I knew introduced me to a new church. At first, I was still not able to concentrate much. I ended up going through a rough breakup, but I think God used that to draw me to himself. During that, I finally had begun to see a change in my heart. I felt alone physically, but my spirit was on fire. I couldn't get enough of God's word. I couldn't wait for the next sermon or Bible study. I finally understood what it meant to be a Christian. I finally could see the difference in my life. Being good and doing good things was not enough. As Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I realized I had to change my behaviors and habits as I began to pursue righteousness. Believing was the first step, but I must turn away from my old self so I can pursue God's word. I couldn't do it on my own. I fail at it every day, but with God, I have been set free from the routine of sin, and now have the power through Christ to walk away from temptation. Romans 6:21-23 says, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The desire to follow God's word is what changed my heart. I still struggle with sin, some things more than others, but this time I recognize when I sin and repent and ask God for forgiveness. I don't always feel that fire, but I always feel the desire to be closer and get to know the real and living God who saved me from myself and from the ways of the sinful world. There are still trials in my life, and I know there will be more, but because I have a relationship with Jesus, I know that I am not alone. As Philippians 4:13 states, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, and I look forward to all God has in store for me in the future.
Sierra, thank you for your testimony of faith in Christ. We're so grateful that the Lord brought you to see that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by anything that we do, not by any human effort or human merit, but solely the work of Jesus Christ. And because you have put your faith, your hope of heaven, in Christ and his work alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Colin Rhodes, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, life was a path full of sin and self-fulfillment. Growing up in a Christian home and in church, I had heard the gospel many times. I knew all had fallen short, and I knew the wages of sin were death, but I didn't live in conviction of sin. I had a guilt of sin, but that guilt was not enough for me to give up my sin. On a youth camp, the leader asked the group to share their testimonies if they were saved. That was the first time I really considered for myself what it meant to be a Christian. That camp planted the seed for me to question if I was saved. From there, I made many false professions of faith, solely because I said a prayer that included me acknowledging I was a sinner and needed a Savior, but there was no change in my life. It wasn't till years later that I was in church and hearing John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey me." In Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." This resonated with me and made me realize my unwillingness and inability to turn from my sin. I knew that if I stood right then before a just and holy God, I would be condemned to hell because I had not turned away from my sins in repentance and faith. I needed a Savior named Jesus Christ, who would be the propitiation to atone for my life of sin. It was then that I asked the Lord to forgive me of my path of sin and walk in newness of life. Since Christ, my life has had peace, knowing that I am right with God and no longer a slave to sin. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Prayer and reading God's word is now something I want to do and is not something I simply feel the need to check off the list. Evangelism was not a part of my life before salvation. Now, sharing the good news of Christ is a joy because it is my desire that everyone be saved and have the work that Christ did in me done in them. And that is why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Well, Colin, thank you, and thank you for reminding us that it is beyond our ability to repent and believe the gospel, that ultimately we are beggars and we have to throw ourselves on God's mercy because you did that and because he has changed you and redeemed you, because you now confess him as Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Christian Fleming, and I'm very glad to be here to give you my testimony today. I grew up in a Christian family, and growing up in a Christian environment has been an incredible blessing to me, and it continues to be an incredible blessing to me. But while growing up in a Christian household, I always told myself I was a Christian. I thought because I prayed a prayer and was a good person that I had a seat in heaven with my name on it. The sad truth is that I was blinded by my prideful attitude and sinful condition. Towards the beginning of my time in high school, my grandfather passed away very suddenly. My grandfather was not a Christian to my knowledge. This event sent me into a state of rebellion against the Lord, and my true colors showed through all the lies. I did all things for my own pleasure instead of God's glory. Every angry action, lustful thought, and every selfish sin committed drove me exponentially further away from God. When I would look at my life, I would tell myself, "Well, you're better than most, and everybody sins." My life was complete darkness. When our church lessons would encourage us to test ourselves to ensure our salvation, I would ignore those tests because I knew that I would fail every point. I lied to myself and to those around me by calling myself a Christian. The truth was, I was damned to hell and helpless of that fact. I was dead in my sins. A little over a year ago, I came to know the true saving power of Jesus Christ. Around that time, our Sunday school lessons were very convicting. The tests of true faith that I normally ignored were thrust upon me every week. The Lord used those tests to show me my true condition, a life filled with anger, lust, and pride. I saw myself helpless and damned for the first time in my life. But God, being rich in mercy and love, pulled me out of darkness and death. I no longer must serve a wicked master on a path to hell because I am now a bondservant to Christ, my Lord and Savior. Christ is the only way to the Father. Where I have fallen short, Christ prevailed. On the cross, Christ was looked upon by the Father as if he had committed all my disgusting sins. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, when God looked at me, he sees his child in Jesus' clothes of righteousness. He adopted me into his family. In response to his gift, I have turned from my sin, and I am now following in Christ. A right relationship with God is overwhelmingly better than any sinful false pleasure that the world can offer me. I have a new, perfect, loving master who I want to give praise and glory in all I do. The Lord called me to be his child. Christ is my Savior. and the Lord is now working in my life to grow me to be more like him. Just as a side note, one of my favorite hymns that depicts what the Lord did for me is His Robes for Mine. I wanted to share 4 points of the gospel that I was taught my entire life growing up, but that I didn't understand the truth of until I came to know the Lord. And you'll all know these verses because we're taught them growing up, all of us. But we see 4 truths that, one, God is the only one creator, Lord of all. And we see that in verses like Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. 2, we also see man's shortcoming and need for a savior, like Romans 3:23. The Bible also shows us God's mercy through Jesus taking our punishment for those sins. One of my favorite verses, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And finally, the Bible shows us how God saves us, like in John 3:16. It's amazing that the Lord who created all things would die for me. Now, by no means am I perfect. It's only by God's grace that I am saved, and now his child, nothing that I have done. I am in his word and praying constantly. The Lord has begun a work in me that he will continue until the day I am in the presence of my creator. I can see the sins and my old life diminishing, and my spiritual life in Christ growing. I will still find myself doing the very thing I hate at times, to use the Apostle Paul's thoughts. Even though I still sin at times, the Lord brings me back to him after every sin. And when I do sin, the Holy Spirit convicts me and teaches me more about my sinful self, as well as God's grace and holy character. I am firm in knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am nowhere near spiritually mature, but even over the 1 short year that I have been saved, I have seen so much growth and work that the Lord has done in me. I truly am his child, and that is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, Christian, thank you so much for such a clear and powerful testimony of God's grace in your life. Because you have come to see that your only hope was Christ bearing your sins on the cross and suffering the justice they deserved. And you're getting his righteousness in exchange. And because your faith is in him as Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Andrew Masters, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home, but by most people's accounts, I was a good kid. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I was, as Ephesians 2 says, dead in my trespasses and sins. I did not care for the things of God. I lived my life how I wanted to. I was my own Lord. I indulged in sin with little or no remorse. I'm not sure exactly when the Lord saved me, but I believe it was sometime between sophomore and senior year of high school. I understood the holiness and unbending justice of God, as Exodus 34 says, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, that he indeed punishes evil, and that I was evil. During this time of my life, my family and I started attending Countryside. Listening to the lessons on the Sermon on the Mount further solidified these truths about the holiness of God and man's depravity. I understood during this period of high school that not only was God holy and I was a sinner, but also that the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was my substitute who bore all my sins and iniquities in his body on the cross. However, just believing these truths does a sinner no good, since even the demons believe the facts. To receive eternal life through Jesus Christ, I repented of my sins and entrusted my soul to Jesus Christ. As Christ himself said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Since coming to Christ, I'm no longer the Lord of my life. Christ is. I was given new desires when God saved me. I love God. I hate my sin. I hunger for his word. I desire to share the gospel with others. And in everything I do, I desire to please God. In order to cultivate my walk with God, I have been reading his word, spending time in prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, continually turning from my sin, and worshiping God throughout my day. So I'm here tonight to be obedient to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be baptized.
Andrew, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. And we rejoice that through our Lord's own words in the Sermon on the Mount, he brought you to a knowledge of your sin and to a knowledge of himself. And to the reality that, as you said, it's not enough to believe the facts of the gospel, the demons do, but you to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ and him alone. Because that's true of you,
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Jason Webster. I'm here to proclaim the goodness of God and to tell how he saved me, an idolater and a hypocrite. I've lived a life of religious activity. I've spent all my life in churches and the last 20 years in solid biblical churches like Countryside. The gospel proclaims that my utter sinfulness leaves me doomed before a holy God who will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, but that the Father sent Christ to live a righteous, blameless life in my place and to suffer on the cross bearing God's wrath against my sin. I have understood those facts as long as I can remember. I've also understood that I am helpless to earn salvation from God and only by his grace, through faith alone in Christ alone, which is a gift from him, can anyone be saved? I have responded to the gospel in some way, the gospel call, both privately and publicly, and been baptized several times over the years, and yet God made it clear to me this spring that all my worship has been idolatry and all my religion has been hypocrisy. I've been a hypocrite because I have continued in almost unbroken patterns of lust, anger, lying, and man-pleasing across all these years of religious activity. Christ warned the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Like the Pharisees, I have been more concerned about how the people around me saw me than how God saw me. I was content to live a corrupt life as long as it remained hidden from others, rather than see as a believer must an increasing pattern of sanctification and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Increasing disobedience has been evident in me. I was hiding my sin from the church, from my friends, from my wife, from my children, and living a double life, sinning in private, and putting on a Christian mask. Why? Why know the gospel to be true and not repent? Why surround myself with Christians at church and at home and never really become one of them? In a word, idolatry. I have been my own God. The admiration of others and the growth of my own reputation has been sweeter to me than forgiveness through the gospel. Like the Pharisees, I would not bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance, Matthew 3:8. Joshua 7:19 says, "Give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to his name, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it." But it would cost me too much of my own glory, my own praise from men, for me to tell others the sins I needed God to forgive. I am convinced that I was never a believer, because in truth, I only worship myself. But God, because he's rich in mercy, did not leave me there on the road to death. He snatched me off of it in his goodness. He took pity on me. He lifted his restraining hand and let my sin grow beyond what I could conceal. Unwilling to let the temple I was building to myself stand, he leveled it. And then he showed me the sweetness of the gospel. He led me out of the growing oppression of concealed sin into the joy of repentance, a full confession and clean conscience. He has freed me from slavery to my sin. It is growing new habits of righteousness. I'm a baby Christian in his care. And I depend on him as my father to hold me and steady me, to feed me and to raise me. He has softened my heart of stone so that I am eager to repent and follow him. Where formerly there was fear of losing my reputation, the Father is providing a godly fear of himself that loves the light and will not allow me to go on keeping my sin hidden in darkness. He has shown me the humble, kind fellowship of believers who are eager to help hold me accountable. I praise him for what he's done in my life and for the opportunity to be baptized tonight.
Jason, thank you for sharing your heart with us. We are so grateful that the Lord has brought you to a true knowledge of himself. We're grateful that you have come to know him as he is, a savior, a rescuer in every sense of that word. And because he is your redeemer, your savior, and you have confessed Jesus as Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name's Jonathan. Before salvation, I was a hypocrite. While I looked good on the outside, inside I was full of bitterness and rebellion towards God. I manifested none of the fruits of the Spirit, and studying the Bible was totally undesirable. I knew God created us to be with him, however we sinned and were separated from God. Our sins cannot be removed by our feeble good deeds, so God sent us Christ to live a perfect life, die, and be raised, paying the debt for all believers. Those who trust in Christ as their only hope and to have eternal life will receive his Spirit and live a life emulating him and ultimately perfected with him forever in heaven. I believe this, however, my attempts to repent were short-lived because I could not see a lasting change. I would give up, and I would think that I cannot be a Christian. I remained a hypocrite. The process of breaking my hypocrisy was not instant. This genuine faith began with a series of trials through which I realized who was the giver of life and found that it was not me. Then I was able to apply what I knew from my youth of sin and Christ's atonement for us. Next was a greater understanding of the value of sitting under deep, clear explanation of Scripture. As Pastor Pennington preached through Romans 7 and 8 on the contrast of sin and the law, and Pastor John MacArthur preached on Galatians 5, also about sanctification, it started to make sense. I thought that by being saved, one would be able to stop all major sins altogether. But now I understand this is an arduous process. I was held back from being baptized because of a flawed view of the works of repentance. The more I learned about the law, the more sin I saw in myself, as Paul says in Romans 7, 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Realizing through the trials that God was the giver of life, clarity and depth in the preaching of Scripture stamped out my flawed views and showed the Holy Spirit sanctifying me. Recently, I've noticed these sanctifying changes to the pattern of my life. I used to listen to secular music, but now I have no tolerance for the immoral ideas portrayed in it. Before, I could not show the fruits of the Spirit, but now I see it, and so do the parents of the children I work with. I've had many parents comment about my patience when teaching their children. I used to sin without remorse, but now sin causes me grief. I never wanted to read the Bible, but now I do. Ephesians 4, 17 and 24 is clear on what has happened. That you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in the accordance of its lust and deceit, and then you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. My life has shifted from serving myself to serving God due to repentance of my sins and faith in Christ. As I grow more Christ-like, I am thankful for the trials that come my way. James 1:2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Through the last set of trials, there was a peace, and I was rejoicing in the sanctification process. I enjoy coming to church not only to encourage others, but also to be better equipped to do my Lord's will. I am here tonight in obedience to be baptized.
Jonathan, thank you for your testimony, and we're so grateful that the Lord brought you to see that while we are forgiven of sin, while we hate sin, while we're putting sin to death in our lives, that we'll never be perfect in this life, but someday, just like Christ. Because you have confessed him as Lord, because you have given evidence of the changes that he has produced in your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Nathan Krause, and this is my testimony. I grew up in what I thought was a Christian home. Outwardly, we seem so to the standards of most Texans, with weekly attendance to Bible church. But at home, there was no Bible study, and the usual prayers spoken were generic canned prayers at the dinner table. At age 10, I raised my hand to pray the sinner's prayer at VBS, but it meant nothing to me. At age 12, I was baptized. Had I been required to give a testimony like I am today, I'd have nothing more to say than I believe Jesus exists. Even the demons believe that. From that time on, I put on a facade that fooled most, including myself, that I was a Christian, but I was spiritually dead. As Ephesians 2:1-2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." I loved my sin, and thus I hated God. Anger, lust, envy, selfishness, and pride were just a few of my many injustices against my God. I believe God would forgive me even when I sinned on purpose. After graduating college, I was adamant that it would take an act of God for me to move up to DFW. God told me, "Too bad, you're going up there. I have bigger plans for you." The only job offer I got after many months of searching was in Southlake. So I moved up here in August 2014. I started attending Countryside simply out of habit that I was familiar with going to church all my life. Tom was still in Romans 1 at the time. As I heard the expository teaching of Romans week after week, it started convicting me, and I knew something was wrong, but I still wanted to hold on to my sin. At some point of hearing some version of, "If this is not you, you are not a Christian," at the end of many messages, it really started to make me understand the fact that I wasn't a true believer, but a sinner enslaved to my sin. I repented of all my sins, understanding that Christ died a brutal death to take on all my sins as a substitution for me, because there is nothing I can do on my own to bring myself to salvation. The time of my true conversion was probably late 2015 to early 2016. That is when I started seeing some major changes in my life and attitude. I was then invited to Sunday school and the 128 singles group, where I started getting the fellowship I needed. This was a major part of my initial growth. The partners program further helped me in my growth as I went through that last year. Over the last couple of years, God has been working in my life to turn me into the man of God he wants me to be. Although I do still sin, I no longer live in a pattern of sin. I feel disgraceful when I sin against my Lord, and I repent of my sins. I know I am forgiven, but regular repentance of sins is still necessary. As 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Christ has given me a new life, and none of what I have been given can be credited to my works in any way. He took me as a wretched sinner, and with his grace alone, he gave me salvation. As Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Even with a regenerate heart, through Christ, I still must be aware that I still have my flesh, Galatians 5:6, where I say, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." I started seeing the importance of many other pieces of the Christian life after my conversion. I actively serve in the church. I desire to pray and spend time in the Bible daily. I spend time in fellowship with believers, both in groups and one-on-one, getting and giving encouragement, as well as asking for counsel from believers older in the faith. I worship God not only by attending weekly church service and Bible studies, but even in daily living. Before salvation, when I thought I was a Christian, I would look at other Christians' lives and wonder how they had so much joy. Now I have that joy in Christ without a doubt. Knowing that I had no understanding of the truths of the gospel when I was baptized at the age of 12, I am here now to be baptized as an act of obedience to my God.
Nathan, thank you for your testimony, and we do rejoice that we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps, that he had plans for you to bring you to DFW, to expose you to the truth of the gospel, and to bring you to himself. Because you have repented of your sins, and because you have believed in Jesus Christ, because your hope is in the grace of God, and through that alone are you saved, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Rest easy, I'm the last one. My name is Preston Enzensperger. In my early years, I grew up in church, and I'm grateful that my parents tried to raise me in the fear of the Lord. I was baptized around age 13 after attending a week-long revival during a summer break where I walked the aisle, as they say, and made a profession of faith. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above and set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." My teenage and young adult years, I would not say I had any interest on the things above, just on earthly pleasures. Affirmation in my athletic abilities and acceptance in friendships and various in-groups were my preoccupations. Midway through college, I married and 3 years later was divorced. Being abandoned was a hard reality. The anger, the devastation, disillusionments took its toll over the next couple years as I sinfully responded in other relationships. I was confused mentally and emotionally about love and relationships. Romans 2:4 says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. When I began to date my wife now, we had an easy and enjoyable friendship, but temptation came and we found ourselves with child and facing the decision of marriage, a goodness from God that we would understand later. I had fear to remarry. I didn't want to have pain or cause pain, but those kinds of thoughts led me in and out of depression. I was encouraged by a biblical counselor I was referred to, who spoke the truth in love to me about anxiety that leads to depression. It was helpful, and it strengthened me to begin the path towards obedience and remarriage. We came from different religious backgrounds, and we believed we should be in church, but we knew nothing on what a good church should be. By God's continued providence, some friends invited us to their church, which turned out to be a strong Bible teaching church. One visit turned to another, and soon after we joined a Bible study group. Somewhere during that time, I began to truly trust Christ as my Savior as I drew closer to him through his word, accepting his faithful forgiveness of my sins, and embracing his gift of eternal life because of Jesus Christ's perfect life in my place, which I could never earn on my own. The newness of Christ in me was producing new desires. Spending time in God's word regularly, beginning to pray, desiring to go to church, sharing the gospel, learning to love my wife like Christ, assuming the role to lead my family God's way, enjoying fellowship with other believers, and I could go on. I love Psalm 119:59. It says, "I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies." I can tell you today, my position and my posture before God has been renewed. I know love now, and it's a person, my Lord Jesus Christ. And I say today, like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Which is why I'm here for baptism today. To make that public profession with a sound mind, sure of what I believe.
Preston, thank you for sharing your story with us, for reminding us of God's providence and in remarkable ways to bring you to this point and to this day. Because you now live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and who gave himself for you, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, those are wonderful testimonies, aren't they? So many different paths, and yet, in the end, the same story, because it's a story of God as creator bringing someone into the world. It's a story of someone sinning and rebelling against God, and the story of God in his grace seeking them out through the good news of the gospel, the reality that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to bear the sins of everyone who would ever believe in him, and then raised his Son from the dead. And someday his Son will return for those who love him. I just need to say that you heard several tonight give their testimony and mention that they were connected to the church in some way most of their lives, and yet they were not true believers. Paul urges all of us in 2 Corinthians 13 to examine ourselves to see if we're truly in the faith. I think tonight in the testimonies you've heard, we've all heard, give us the opportunity to do just that and to ask ourselves and, more importantly, to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see if I am truly yours through the testimony of your word, through the testimony of my life, through the belief in the gospel. And help me to see and understand if I'm not. That's my prayer for all of us tonight. Let's pray together for those who've shared their testimonies, and then Phil will come and lead us in a closing song. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed at your grace. Lord, we were all described in the testimonies tonight. We were all enjoying the life you gave us as a gift, but living for ourselves, living selfishly, living in sin and rebellion, either openly or clandestinely and secretly. But Father, we thank you that for most of us here, you sought us out through the gospel. You have brought us to the same place you brought all of those who shared their testimonies tonight, to hate our sin, to hate our rebellion, to be willing to turn from it to you, our Creator, to receive the offer of forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for your grace in each of our lives. I pray that you would help all of us to examine ourselves, to make sure that we're not living a facade, living like a hypocrite, a Pharisee, clean on the outside, but inside full of death itself. Father, may you examine our hearts through your word and through your spirit. Help us to see. But Father, if we pass the test, if we can see, as these have testified, the change that only you can produce, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and all of those qualities that he brings, Father, encourage us. Give us joy. Give us confidence. Give us persistence and perseverance, that we would remain faithful to our Lord until he comes or calls us home. Thank you again for these who've testified. Lord, we pray for Anna and for Melissa, for Sierra, for Colin, for Christian and Andrew, for Jason and Jonathan, for Nathan, for Preston. Father, continue the work that you have so obviously begun in their lives. until someday they, like the rest of us who are in Christ, awake in His likeness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.